All right, that was tremendous. Thank you for that. Thank you for being here and in your place on Thursday night. And we're looking forward to Sunday. And at least I'm looking forward to Sunday, okay? I just like offering Sundays. I don't know why, but I'm really excited. And I know we'll just do our part and do the best that we can. Last Sunday, we had a tremendous Sunday. We had so many visitors in here. And just from people out soul winning, inviting them, meeting them out in different places. And so thank you for being concerned about the souls of others and sharing the gospel. And we appreciate that. I won't be as long. We'll end a few minutes early. At the end of the service, what we're going to do is we have our prayer list for our building campaign. And what we'll do is we'll stop a few minutes early. We'll pass that out. And you can pray with your family or by yourself. Take a few minutes and pray. We have a prayer list. It's 10 points. And then afterwards, we'll go over to the courtyard area as soon as you're done, and we have a little snack there for you as well. With Offering Sunday, I kind of want to hit it from a different angle. Look at this. We'll read the verses together. I believe there was a handout. We're not doing Proverbs tonight. We'll pick up Proverbs next Thursday night. I love this story. I believe in the past I've preached on it, but I want to read it to you. It's a bit lengthy. We'll read it and go through a few things together. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea that is on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah where they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest thou not over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they are turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee." And Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the God in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. For thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." As we look forward to this Sunday, it's our building our future offering Sunday. Of course, we've already went over a lot of it, but our purpose is to raise the needed funds to complete the building project, particularly next door. The reason is for really the expansion of our ministries. We desire to continue to grow, to continue to reach people, and just be honest with you, part of it is the facilities that we have. The practical part of it is that the old building is really in desperate need of attention, and you go over there, you see it. The ministry needs will be better met and give us more space when this whole thing is done. And so this campaign is about giving. We don't apologize for that. By the way, be afraid when we no longer need funds to do God's work. That means we're not doing anything. And so this is just part of it. And so we don't want to miss out on that. When we give, we experience personal blessings, but when we give too, we also are creating more ministry opportunity, and that's what we are into. So what we are fighting for as a church in our society and in our world, we're fighting for victory. We want to be on the victorious side. And not only that, we want others to find the Lord so that they may experience spiritual blessing and spiritual victory in their lives. But if there's any amount of success in a ministry, and by success, I mean this, so we are clear, God doing something, not that we're doing something. But if there's any, maybe that word success is not the word we should use, but let's just, for sake of conversation here. If it necessitates that we're going to at sometimes need resources and giving to get the job done. And I'm glad with that for that. But I want to hit it from a different angle. Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was one of the great kings of Israel. He had one flaw that came back to bite his family later. He compromised a little bit by hooking up with King Ahab. But overall, Jehoshaphat was a very good king. And so in the story here, we see some of their enemies, the Moabites, Mount Seir, and Ammonites. They are going to come with a huge army, and they are going to attack Jerusalem and try to take Judah, the southern kingdom, out. So Jehoshaphat hears about that, and he springs into action like any king or any leader would. But it's not the kind of action we would think of when we think of a battle. You see, he understood that it was a spiritual battle, and any victory they would win would be a spiritual victory. And so if they were gonna get that victory, it wasn't just about getting the army together, getting the tools, getting the military, and not that they shouldn't do that, but he understood that they were outnumbered, they were outclassed, and they needed God's help. And so what he does is he goes straight to God, and he asks God for his help. Now, as I mentioned earlier about the importance of giving towards continued victory, I'm grateful for where we are at in our church because we have people that will sacrifice to get us there. But I want us to understand something, and it's not counterproductive to wanting you to give. It's just I want us to understand this. There's more to victory and there's more to doing ministry than just giving. Giving is important, don't get me wrong. But I don't want us to think, if we think that all there is in getting spiritual victory, making a difference is giving, then we're going to make a mistake because it's not about that. That's just part of it. That's just something God wants of us as we're trying to do things for him. But there are some other things if we're really going to make a difference. We could have a phenomenal offering on Sunday, and I hope we do. But if we don't do these other things that I'm going to mention tonight, and we're going to see some things from the story, we are missing the point. Yes, I want a church that is willing to invest in what God is doing. But I also want a church that's doing things that God wants them to do. We never can buy God's blessings. You understand that. And we never can God working in our church. That's something only God does in response to his people doing the right thing. And so as we read this story, I want us to see some other things that must be added to giving if we're going to have victory as we go forward using our building for the honor and glory for God and trying to make a difference in our community, in our state, in our country, and in our world. What are some of them? Number one, I think you have a sheet there. We must have giving plus spirituality. There has to be spirituality. Look at verse 3. And when Jehoshaphat hears the army is coming, a secular leader would say, get the military together, and they should do those things, don't get me wrong. Get the military, get the guys, let's start loading everybody up. Where are they coming? Let's get the first thing he did was this. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. He said, I need God. So if we're going to win this battle, I need to have God on my side. He was seeking God. There's nothing wrong with planning. I'm all for it. But he didn't first gather and plan. He said, the first thing I need to do is, because these are our enemies and we're God's people and this is God's land, we need God. He neglects it all and just goes straight to God. A little bullet point I think you have there. Nothing we will ever do for God, and that includes giving, is more important than our relationship with God. I think sometimes we forget that. I think sometimes in the busyness of everything we're doing, and I think sometimes in everything we're trying to accomplish, and we want God to use us, and we want God to do something, I think we forget in the midst of it sometimes that more than that, nothing is more important than our spirituality and who we are with God. You say, Pastor, what? I mean, I believe in serving the Lord. I do. I believe that everybody here ought to have some job. They ought to be doing something in ministry through the church for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I give. Good, but get out there and serve. You say, well, Pastor, if I had to choose between giving and serving, which would you choose? Both. You don't choose one. God talks about both. And I believe in serving with all of my heart. But if you're serving, can I tell you what's going to help you serve and be effective? Your relationship seeking God. It's not going to work without that. Serve Him. Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Let me ask you, Sunday school teacher, you spending time with God? Well, I work in the nursery. You might want to have pepper spray. No, I'm kidding. Are you seeking God? I work on a bus route. I'm a worker. I'm a bus captain. You seeking God? That's everything. You have to have that in place. I believe in soul winning. I think we got to get the gospel out to the world. Fact of the matter is, if our church isn't going to get the gospel out in the world, we should never take an offering. God, just pack up and let someone come here and do the work. It's our responsibility. What do you mean by our? Not just the staff. It's everybody's responsibility to get the gospel out. By the way, boom, commercial time. Summer saturation is coming. In the summer, we don't shut down what we're doing. We engage what we're doing. We don't believe in summer slumps. We believe in summer jumps. And summer saturation is one of the most, look, going out on in the summer soul winning on Tuesday nights, more people are open, the sun is out, and we're going to hit it big time this year. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. I'm new. Come along. We'll help you. We'll show you exactly how to do it. But you can soul win all you want, and you should, but don't think that that's a replacement for spending time with God. We need to do both. I believe in sacrificial giving, and we have a church that does that, but we still need to spend time with God. I believe in having standards and the right beliefs, but we can have all, we could cross our T's and dot our I's, but that is no replacement for spirituality. Fact of the matter is, spirituality, which is what gives us the power to do those things. So often, I think this is in, we get caught up in all of the outward things that we are supposed to do, that we neglect the inward things that we must do. Now, someone of a more liberal persuasion will say, see, the outward's not important. They're dead wrong. But if we think we're okay because we do outward things and we have no inward walk with God, we have no inward seeking of God, it's just a matter of time before it all falls apart. We need both. See, the outward's easy to do because if you don't do it, people see it, right? You know, it's like, if I'm not doing the right thing here or there, it's going to be obvious. But, you know, we can hide that inward spirituality, which we are not seeking. And we ought not to do that. Heed this warning in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. The prophet gave to the king Asa. Chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, he goes, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you. We like to stop right there. God's with us no matter what we're doing. Okay, well, let's keep reading. While ye be, what's the next two words? With him. Oh, keep going. And if ye, what's those two words? Seek him. He will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. See, we cannot just assume God is there. We need to know he's there. And the only way we know he's there is if we're seeking to live a spiritual life. I'm glad that we have a lot going on. I'm glad that we're not just sitting around until the Lord comes. I'm glad that good things are happening, but we have to spend time with God. That's not a substitute. You don't have to choose at all. More than ever right now, we need God in the times in which we live. It's confusing times. And by the way, for us, it's not that bad because we understand. If we understand anything, we've heard enough preaching, read our Bible at all, we understand how things are going to play out. We're not losing. We're on the winning side. But what about this world? We need God so we can go to people that are confused about their daily lives and what's going on. We need God in the needs of this world. The greatest need this world needs, the greatest need of the world is the gospel. We need to be involved with that. And then we also need God for the opportunities we have. I hope we don't get comfortable here because that's a killer. Number two, what else do we need? We need giving plus sacrifice. Sacrifice. Verse 3, he sought God and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Not only did he seek the Lord, he got everybody else involved and said, we need something miraculous here. We need to seek God and we need to fast. Now, what is fasting? Fasting is sacrificing something. In our context here, it's usually meals for the sake of bringing something before God and letting him know we're serious about this. We're willing to sacrifice something to get your attention. I like that story where Jesus and his disciples, they're out and Jesus isn't with them and they're praying over this demon-possessed individual and it doesn't work. And they come to Jesus and Jesus takes care of the situation. They're like, Jesus, how come we couldn't handle this? How come we couldn't cast the demon out? And you know, remember what he says if you know your Bible. He says, this kind only cometh forth by prayer and fasting. He said, this was not a regular situation here. You needed a little bit more than just going over there. You needed to put a little prayer into it. You needed a little bit more power. God responds when we're willing to sacrifice for him, particularly in prayer. Fasting is specifically about extra prayer. Prayer asking for God's help. And we had a day of fasting a couple weeks ago. I hope you were a part of that. Here's what's scary. I think the little thing is there. When we're not praying, we will start believing that the results are because of us. They're not. You understand that, right? What we're saying when we feel like we don't need God's help is like, I got this, God. I don't need you. I don't know about you. I don't ever want to get to that place. I got this covered. See, it's easy to come to God when things aren't going well, right? It's easy to go to God when problems are there and struggles are there. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's almost as if we're saying, you know what, God, this is on cruise control. I don't need your help. Years ago, I think we may have heard the story here many years ago, but a national who was a pastor in his home country, he was able to come to America. And he traveled to several churches around America, and he got to, you know, they were raising money or whatever. And after he got to the end, when he was going to go back, one of the Americans asked him, said, well, you've been to America for a while. What impressed you about American churches? And here's what he said. He goes, I'm amazed at how much the church in America can accomplish without God. By the way, I'm all for programs. I despise disorganization with a passion. Like, we know what we're doing. Here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing. Here's how it's happening. Here's all that stuff, and that's our responsibility. But without God, you know what you got? You got an organized, unspiritual mess. You got to have God. And so we have to bring God into the equation. Why? By praying and asking for his help. Remember, Israel understood, Jehoshaphat understood that victory in battle was not because of their military might, it was because God was on their side. And he said, I'm going to get God on our side. So what's the point? Let's develop a pattern of prayer in our life. What is the problem? It's a discipline. To me, it's probably one of the, you know, one of the hardest things to do for a Christian. I don't know why. We used years ago, we used to say, you know, as someone grows in their faith, they add things, right? They come to church, they start adding faithfulness to church, they start adding spending time in their Bible, they start adding all these different things. They'll start soul winning, they'll start serving, they'll start doing all of these things. And we used to say, and it's not necessarily true, and I don't believe it, the statement we used to hear is, the last thing a new Christian will usually start doing is giving, and it's the first thing they quit doing. But I've changed my philosophy on that. I think usually the last thing and the first thing they quit is prayer. Because it's a discipline. You have to do it. It's humbling. Do you know, when you're going before God, that's humbling. You know, we're supposed to confess our sins to God. You don't need to ask this. I'll answer this question. You need to ask it. How do I know what sins I've committed that God wants me to confess? Super easy. You get down on your knees and you say, Lord, I want to confess my sin. And you know what happens? Pop, 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 pop. God just kind of like, okay, here's the ones. It's almost like God says, here they are. Deal with these. So it's humbling. It's us going before God expressing, hey, I'm nothing. And the last thing, we're unworthy. We are so unworthy of God even giving us the time of day. What did David say in Psalms? What is man that thou art mindful of him? It's like, why do you even think about us? Next, if we're going to make a difference, giving's important, but there must be, and it kind of dovetails on the first one, there must be seeking. There must be seeking. And Judah, after he sends out this prayer thing, hey, we need to start fasting and get together. And verse 4, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah came they to seek the Lord. They now come to the temple at Jerusalem for a time of prayer and seeking God. Now, I understand this. They were motivated at this time by an oncoming enemy. They had a problem. And I'll say this, there is nothing wrong with people coming to God when they have a problem. There's nothing wrong with that at all. As long as you're not just coming to God to get rid of the problem and then on your way you go. Right? I don't know how many people I've dealt with. They come in, it's like there's a problem going on. It's like they tell them the problem. I'm like, all right, here's why you have the problem. Oh, no. I just want you to help me get rid of the problem. Well, it's like weed whacking, it's like taking a weed whacker and cutting the top of a weed. The weed's gone, but the roots are there and it's coming right back. You got to get the roots out. And so we come to God when we have problems, and God wants us to, and he wants to work, but he wants to work so that that becomes who we are. We're not just coming to get rid of the problem. We're coming to God so that God becomes a part of our life, and we get to that root, and we don't have those problems anymore. But saying all that, the point is we ought to seek God regardless of what is going on because we want him to be the focus of our life. What's the focus of your life? We have way too many bumper sticker Christians. Boom, honk if you love Jesus. How about honk if you live for Jesus? How about honk if you go to church? Okay, honk if you share the gospel. Honk if you give to the church. Okay, we'll move on. But it's like we feel, oh, I got my little Jesus bumper sticker. I got my shirt, you know, best safe lifeguard in the world. Okay, that's cute, and I get all that. But is your life about Jesus? Is he really the focus of your life? Sometimes our problem is this. We seek the things of God without actually seeking God. What I mean is this. When we're coming to God, we're not coming to God just to enjoy who he is. We're coming to God for the perks. Right? Come on. A guy years ago, you had the singles ministry for a long time. Pastor had me start a couples class. Right off the bat, this guy and his wife started coming. And so I went by his house. Witness to him, he wouldn't get saved. I think my wife went by, witnessed to him. He wouldn't get saved. I think everybody in the church witnessed the guy, and he would not get saved. And finally, I went by. I said, can I ask you a question? You don't want to get saved. Why do you come? And here's what he told me. He goes, I just want something that'll help my family. They're divorced. It doesn't work that way. God can help your family. God can help your marriage. But you come to God first, and those things will all settle themselves out if you come to God and become right with him. You ever hear the phrase, you ever hear of a gold digger, right? What's a gold digger? My wife and I, we took a trip several years ago. We went up the coast for a few days, and we stayed at this hotel. It was a nice hotel, and we were eating in the restaurant, and I saw this. It was a really high-class restaurant, one you only go to once a year, and then you're in debt for the rest of the year. And we're sitting there, and a couple booths over was this girl and this guy. This guy had to be, like, pushing 70. This girl was, like, young and, you know, young, very pretty. And I'm like, oh, isn't that nice? Dad brought daughter out. Fact of the matter is, I thought granddaughter. And then a little bit later, look, I'm like, no, they're a couple. I'm like, how did Mr. 70 score Mrs. 29? We'll probably see what he was driving in the parking lot. That's a gold digger. They're not interested in the relationship. They're interested in what they can get, and they'll give the relationship to get from that person. That's gold digging. The relationship's not important. The perks are important. You know what? I don't know if it sounds even right. We have Christian gold diggers. Hey, God, if I come, will you do this for me? God's like, well, I can do that for you, but why don't we connect first? Do you really love me? Are we seeking God's blessings or God? And by the way, I'm not saying we shouldn't want God's blessings, but God's blessings are a byproduct of a relationship with him. Right? That's a byproduct. But if we're coming for just the blessings and not God, not only are we not going to get God, we're not going to get the blessings. Are we seeking our will or God's? God, I just want to do my own thing, and I want you to put your stamp of approval on it because I come to church. And I want you to bless my plans, right? Whenever I talk to young people, you know, what do you want to do with your life? What are you thinking? They'll tell me, hey, I think God wants me to do this. Here's my question. Are you positive that's God's will? I'm not God. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But are you sure that's God's will? And you're not just saying that. Because I want them to find God's will. That's where joy's found. It's not found in doing your own thing. Now, if God wants you to do something, great, get after it. But so often what we try to do is we're trying to take a square peg and put it in a round hole because that's what I want. And God, I want you to bless it because after all, I come to church. I go soul winning. Are we seeking a great family or God? By the way, I want a great family. But that's a byproduct of God. I don't want to go and say, God, no, I'm going to kind of just keep my distance here, but can you just bless my family? And can you make sure they all turn out right? See, well, I don't have time for it, but you bring them to school and this and that, and then you don't do anything else, and they don't go right, and it's the school's fault, and it's the church's fault. What are you doing at home? They just want to see that you love God. All right, moving on quickly. I don't want to lose you before offering Sunday. Are we seeking success or God? Right? God, I want you to bless my business. Listen, if you're doing business correctly and you're trying to honor God, I want God to bless your business too. As long as it's not before God, as long as it's not something devious. Well, I'm a drug dealer. I don't want that blessed. Okay? But you know what I'm saying. But if that's why, you know, if I come and I learn principles of Scripture, I think it'll help my business. Well, why don't you learn the principles of Scripture about seeking God? By the way, that's where success comes from, doesn't it? We got to really hurry here. Number 4, giving plus sentiment. What does that mean? Look at verse 6. I like the way he prays. He says, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Aren't you in control? And rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Aren't you in charge of this whole thing? And in thy hand, is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Hey God, aren't you in control? Don't you have power? Can't you do what you want? Verse 7. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Israel, thy friend? By the way, I hope you caught the one part where he said, hey, remember when we were like going through the wilderness and you wouldn't let us take them out? Remember that? Did you catch that? He's like, the only reason they're attacking us today is because you didn't let us take them out there. Can we do something about this? But he's remembering, God, remember what you can do? Remember what you did? Can you not still do it? He's thinking about what God did in the past, and he's praying that for God that it'll happen again. Like when God came to Gideon. He said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor, you're going to get up and you're going to go defeat the Midianites. And he goes, really? If you're our God, then where's all the miracles we heard about? Because we're not seeing them. God's like, you're going to see it this time. And he took out an army with 300 people. I like the past. By the way, I've been here since day one, got all the pictures, all of it, I got everything. And I can rejoice in everything that God has done in our past. I don't want to show it again, it's redundant, but I kind of like showing it. That little thing we did with all the pictures from the past and the fire and the gang fights and all that stuff, I enjoy that because we lived it. But I look back at what God did. I remember Adrian. God bless you, Adrian. I remember he was a little kid coming to church here and I forgot who your Sunday school teacher was. You were standing there and I said something joking. Oh, Chanta. I said, oh man, Chanta's not a good Sunday school teacher. And you kicked me in the shin. I was just kidding. He's like, bam. He hasn't changed. Hasn't changed. Still a little guy. Nope. But all the things, I can look back at all the place of meeting outside and meeting outside over here and all the drama and all the stuff, and it was exciting. I'll just be honest with you. You like that kind of rah, rah, rah stuff? It was exciting, and God did great things. But you know what? I don't want to look back at the past and say, wow, we're done. Wasn't that great? That was the opening act. We're moving on to better things. And that's what he's reminding God. God, remember? You did all those things in the past. And by the way, God's going to do something miraculous right now for them too, by the way. God's done all kinds of things. Here's the thoughts. We got to move on. We don't want to be so tied to the past that we're paralyzed in the present and neglecting our future. I don't want to be the old guy sitting around the chair. Hey, remember when the buses used to be full? No, I want to remember last Sunday when they were full. You know, remember when we used to have visitors in church? I remembered we probably had close to 20 adult visitors this week. I don't know how that happened. They just all showed up. Remember when we used to do this? Yeah, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear it, but I want to say, yeah, but I want to remember what's going on now. Okay? I love the past, but I'm not paralyzed by the past. And if you see me in a rocking chair, knock me over. Okay? I don't want to be paralyzed in the present and neglecting the future. And I also do not want to leave this church in a place where the future is bad. I just don't want to do it. Okay? I'm looking long term. We've been great for 36 years now. I'm looking for the next 36. And then that's about the time I'll retire. I'll be about 70. Do the math. It's not happening. But, you know, and then in 36 years, whoever the pastor is then, he'll be looking for the next 36 years. Okay, this is what we want. That's why he looked in the past. The past is not something to remind us how it was then, but to encourage us of how it can be now and what it will be in the future. Number 5, giving plus scripture. So he gives this long prayer and then he does this. He just stops. Lord, we're waiting for you. That's it. And then all of a sudden, as they're all just standing around waiting for God to communicate, the prophet speaks. Verse 14. Then upon this guy, Jahaziel, who was the son of all these guys, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, verse 15, and he said, hearken all ye Judah, inhabitants of Judah, thou King Jehoshaphat, Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them in the field of the brook upon the wilderness of Jeruel. And ye shall not need to fight this in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. He just says, hey, here's where they're coming to. Here's where it's going. Get over there. Bring your popcorn. Get a front row seat and watch it happen. I'm taking them out. Sounds to me like God listened. You know, that was a promise of victory from the prophet. You know where our promise of victory is found? In the Word of God. And the reason we struggle with it, the reason we struggle with believing it is because we're just not in the Scriptures. Victory will never be found outside the pages of God's Word. Never, ever, ever. If God promises to do something, if we trust in Him and are obedient to His purpose, then why should we be surprised when He does? And then this last one. This is really my favorite part of the story. So God promised victory. It's going to happen. How did it happen? Look at verse 20. It's giving plus song. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye profit. So shall ye prosper. Listen to the word of God that came to us. Everything's going to be good. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and pray and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. He says, we're going to have a praise meeting. Get the singers out here. Put them before the army. And let's just sing praise to God. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe my faith would have been small. Like God said, he's going to wipe them out, but I'm going to hang on to the, you know, Uzi just in case. Okay. But he's like, let's sing. Look at verse 22. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. You know when God reacted? You know when God took them out? When they started singing and praising. God heard them sing and praise and said, showtime, let's go. Their singing and praising started God working. Could it be sometimes God doesn't work in our midst because we're not thankful for what he's doing? I want to be thankful. I don't want to take for granted God's goodness in my life. I don't want to take for granted God's goodness in our church. I don't want to take for granted God's goodness in general. He is good. His mercy endures forever. And I know how it is. It's human nature for us to take it for granted, right? It's only when things aren't going well that we kind of think about things. I don't know about you. I'd rather thank God when things are going good than thank God for the way things used to be. Just praise him. God, that's why, look, this, and I'm not trying to get off on a tangent, but let's just do it. This whole nonsense with this dumb music these churches play, and they got the little group up here singing, and they all want to be America's idol, you know, and America's Got Talent, and look at me sing. The singing's not about that. Well, I want the music that I like. You know, we can use music as a resource to win the lost. Show me that in the Bible. Music is for God. That's why we're going to sing the kind of songs that glorify him. And we're going to sing songs that bring honor to him, not a bunch of people up here dressed immodestly jumping around. That was free. Just thought I'd remind you. Anyhow, let us be thankful for not only what God has done in our lives, for what God has done in our church. Are you thankful? You know, if you have a good marriage, you ought to be thankful. If you're in church with your family, well, we're not perfect. I'm from a dysfunctional family. So's my family. Why don't we thank God? Why, you know why we don't thank God? And I'm done. Because of covetousness. We look at everything else and think that there's something better. There's nothing better than what God wants for you. And the reason you don't like it is because you're not in on it and you're not thankful to him for it. So let's be thankful. I want God to, that's why we sing. You know why? I want God to move. And God likes when we sing to him. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. Well, let's just pray. And then the ushers will come down after we pray. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. Lord, we're so grateful for a church that gives, but Lord, there's so much more you want from us. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to take some of these things into mind. Really, if we look at all of them, they all have to do with our relationship with you and how vitally important it is. And I pray, Lord, that as we go forward as a church, as we give, as we serve, as we soul win, as we do everything that we do, that you are first and foremost in everything, in our lives, in our ministries, our families, and in our churches. Be with us now, Lord. Thank you for the food we're about to receive in a few minutes. Thank you for those that are here tonight. Be with us on Sunday. May you do something great and glorious outside the scope of what we can do ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.